Good morning. As our text today, we hear the prophecy of the new covenant found in Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the hand of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is my covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Covenant. Think, for our purposes today, contract. Some of us here have direct experience with contracts. For example, if you want to buy a car that is much more expensive than the sum total of all the cash you have, you get a loan from the bank, which amounts to a contract spelling out how much the loan will be and your agreement to pay it all back with interest. If you rent an apartment, you sign a lease, a contract, spelling out what the landlord will provide, what your rent payment will be, and other conditions of what you can and cannot do as a tenant in the apartment. Certain job offers become rather detailed contracts, which lay out all the job responsibilities for the employee and the compensation responsibility from the employer. Now, I want you to notice a common feature with the three examples. It's some kind of two-way street. You have to do something, pay something, in order to receive something else. Well, thankfully for all of us here, God's new covenant with us is not a two-way street. It is entirely one-sided with this arrangement in place. He's the source, the giver of everything that we need spiritually, and we receive the benefits. In fact, because of this arrangement, God's new contract with us is going to be unbreakable. To help you measure the worth of that, the value of this new contract, let's consider the alternative. If you and I had to deal with God according to the merit system, with His holiness in the equation, we'd have some very big problems. The deal would be broken from day one, and it would be our fault. We would be just like the children of Israel, breaking the law of Moses. We would be, in effect, evicted as bad tenants who dared to trash the apartment. We'd be fired as bad employees who show up late and steal from the boss. We would default on the loan, becoming permanently bankrupt, unable to pay off the debt of our sins, which finally means the bottom line, facing the consequences of hell. Good news, though, is that God understood all of this ahead of time. And so His new contract with you and me is underwritten with grace. His grace as the main ingredient. Notice the one-sidedness from start to finish. God makes the first move with His promise of salvation. Jesus does all the hard work, keeping the commandments perfectly for you, making that full payment of your debt through His sacrifice on the cross. And the Holy Spirit delivers the goods through His Word straight into our hearts, and even gives us the faith to believe, that is, receive all the benefits. This new covenant of grace is really going to be also a contract of adoption. That's really what God is after, and He accomplishes it, a permanent relationship with you. It's the relationship of father to child. Or to be more precise, between the perfect Father in heaven and troubled, rebellious children on earth. I want to try a picture here for you to try to get a sense of this. Imagine yourself going to an orphanage where you sign a contract, an agreement to adopt the naughtiest kid in the place. You bring him home, you try to give him everything he needs, and he repays you with disobedience to all of your rules, damage to your property, hatred instead of love, in response to love. In that scenario, how long would it take for you or me to say, "I give up. Please take this child back"? Human contracts of adoption, and there are such things, do not guarantee that it's going to work. But God's contract does, because it has the internal power of changing us, changing the wayward heart, making it the heart of faith. This is said in verse 33. "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." That refers to what the Bible calls the new man, the new creation within, the new nature which only wants to do what God wants. We also hear in verse 34, referring to believers, "They all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." It's more than knowing about God. We know God personally as Father, Lord, Protector, Provider, etc., only by the faith He gave us, which is faith in the fact that He forgives all of our sins through Christ. So, this new contract of grace is destined to be a win-win for both sides. God wins us as His people. We win Him as our God. This contract will not be broken. Not by Him. Not even by us, the believers. And that's only true because God finishes what He starts. God fulfills what He promises. What He puts in your heart, faith, He preserves. With the forgiveness of our sins, the currency of His grace, as the foundation of it all, the certainty of it all, the power behind it all. That's His pledge to you, His contract with us. In Christ Jesus, amen. Let us close our worship today singing all stanzas of hymn 149.